I'm Craig Wilson.
And I'm Duncan McLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 79, for Friday, the 1st of March, 2013.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, the home of South Africa's best technology journalism.
On Talk Central this week, we talk about the escalating mobile price war. We also look at Telkom's decision to rebrand Ata, and we chat about the taxman wanting to add VAT to your digital downloads.
As always, we pick the week's biggest winner and biggest loser, and Craig and I will pick our product or app of the week. We'll be back right after these commercial messages.
Ah, what's this? To whom it may come? Hey, hey guys! Guys, I just won $25 million! Click to claim prize!
Don't get ambushed. Call for backup. Get hosted archiving and mail protection from Vox Telecom. Protect and archive your mail for half the price of an on-site server. Hosted archiving and mail protection from Vox Telecom. Backup for your business. SMS 31965 and we'll call you right back. Standard rates apply.
Welcome to Talk Central. I'm Duncan McLeod. I'm here with Craig Wilson. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Duncan.
So a couple of weeks break since we did the last show. You've been gallivanting all over the planet, and we're finally getting around to sitting around a table again and recording a podcast.
And it's good timing. So much in the news this week.
It's been crazy. In fact, for the last couple of weeks, it's just this year has gotten off to an insane start in the mobile communications industry in particular.
Absolutely. Every couple of days, there seems to be another big announcement.
And that's what we're going to be talking about for most of the show today, I suspect. The mobile price war, it's no longer just a skirmish or a little battle on the sidelines. This is a full-scale price war we're now witnessing in the mobile telecommunications industry. And I think there's no doubt it was kickstarted last year by Cell C, and it's 99 cent for real prepaid plans.
Absolutely.
And I think with the cut this week in interconnection rates, we're seeing the acceleration in that battle. And all of the operators have now come to the table with lower rates.
Indeed. All of the operators have come to play now, which is nice. It's taken some time, actually, given how long ago Cell C's cuts were.
Yes.
But as you said, I think this this cut to interconnect has been the big sort of driver as well. They just sort of couldn't hold out any longer.
Yes.
What's also been nice is we've had talk from other industry players like ICASA, the regulator, suggesting that perhaps interconnect should come down even further. And if it does, we could see further reductions in years to come.
Interestingly, I was at a press conference this morning with Shamil Yosub, the group CEO of Vodacom, and there were a lot of questions for him on mobile interconnect and where he sees it going and what he thinks should happen with it. And his view is that it's inevitable that the mobile termination rate, for those readers who don't know, or listeners to the show who don't know what mobile termination rates are, they are, of course, the wholesale fees that the operators charge each other to carry calls between their networks. The bigger operators have been able to use this in the past as a competitive club to keep smaller players from emerging in the market, because, you know, if a smaller player has a higher off-net call charge or has to pay more to the bigger operators, it's easier to keep the smaller players out of the space.
Indeed, and of course they inevitably do, because there are more customers on the bigger players' networks.
For sure. But these prices have come down dramatically thanks to intervention from ICASA, and as of today, the 1st of March, they fell to 40 cents a minute from 1.25 in peak times a few years ago. So it's a dramatic reduction, and Shamil Yusuf was saying today that he believes they're going to come down again. He's saying that there needs to be a market study. Mm. I think all the operators agree there needs to be a market study to determine how they should come down over the next glide path period, over the next couple of years.
Indeed.
But I think the general consensus in the industry and admission by the largest operator, Vodacom, that that the rates are going to come down again. And I think it's good for the industry. It's I remember a certain CEO a few years ago saying that the cutting interconnection rates actually may have the opposite effect and may push rates up. I think that what we've seen happening now is proof that lower interconnection rates have had a dramatic impact on retail prices.
Indeed, and will continue to do so. They just translate immediately into price reductions.
So far they have. It's not guaranteed that that's going to be the case going forward.
Indeed.
But certainly, up to now, it's certainly shown that it's had a big impact. In fact, Cell C cut its prices to 99 cents, according to Alan O'Craig, the CEO at Cell C, in anticipation of the cut today to 40 cents. So some of the market is getting really aggressive. Now, we've seen MTN, of course, cut the cost of its OneRate package, which is one of its prepaid plans. Only about 5% of its customers use OneRate, but it's a, this, it's a similar sort of package to the one that Vodacom is offering and the one that Cell C is offering. It's the same rate all day, all night, weekend, weekday, day or night. The same rate off net, on net, etc. That was R1.75 per minute on per second billing. That's now been cut to R1.20 on per second billing. That undercuts Vodacom's rate.
Right, because Vodacom's rate is also R1.20, but it's per minute.
That's correct.
In real terms, you're actually paying more, particularly if you make a call shorter than a minute.
That's right. I asked Shamil about this today, and he said that I asked him specifically why this per minute rate, and he said that there's value added stuff around this, such as the fact that you can phone for 3 minutes and spend R3.60 and then get the rest of the 57 minutes on their call for free, provided it's an on-net Vodacom call. But he then hinted that this tariff, this R1.20 per minute tariff plan, is part of a platform of products, and the new products are going to come in the future. So look out for a per second billing product in the future as well. He hinted.
Indeed. Well, as you know, I have very strong feelings about this. I just don't think per minute billing should be allowed.
I agree with you.
It should just be outlawed. It's just a layer of complexity that's unnecessary.
Agreed. It's something Ecosia should look into and regulate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is one of the good things about Interconnect, of course, is it's nice to see Ecosia actually getting stuck in and there being a tangible outcome, which we've seen with this GlidePath.
Yeah.
Of course, would argue that it needs to be even more aggressive, but at least this is a start.
Interesting question that's just come to me just talking about this right now, and maybe it's something we should look into, but do you know, is Interconnect billed per second or per minute?
That's a fascinating question. Yeah, I have no idea. We'll have to do some digging.
I presume it's per second, but I don't know the answer to that question. We must look into that.
Indeed.
If it's per minute, I'd be surprised if it's per minute.
Yes, I'm sure we would have actually heard uproar if it was, and people would have moaned that it was unfair.
But it's worth looking into. That's an interesting one. Anyway, so MTN has cut, and then of course today, it was yesterday as well, Ato announced that they're cutting their broadband prices.
Within hours of
MTN. I don't know if it was a reaction to MTN. I suspect it wasn't. I mean, an operator isn't going to be able to turn around a reaction to someone that quickly. So I think it's been coming for some time in light of the reduction in termination rates to 40 cents today. But interestingly, Ato has cut its rates. An interesting thing they've brought to market. I think it's done deliberately so that they don't have to file a very low tariff with Ecosia on a permanent basis. Their officially filed tariff is R1.90 per minute, day or night, to all networks. However, if you recharge at R5 or more, and I suspect R5 is probably about the least you can recharge with, then you get 100% free airtime with, or an additional 50% airtime. So you double your airtime. So the effective rate that you're paying drops from R1.90 to 95 cents per minute on per second billing, which is then the cheapest rate in the market.
Yes, indeed.
4 cents per minute below Cell C.
As I said, the effective rate, though. It's cleverly structured so as not to have to file that rate.
Because with Ecosia, but it is the effective rate. It's what consumers are going to pay. It's 95 cents a minute per second billing. So it's a very aggressive rate from ATA. It does allow them, of course, since it's not a permanently filed tariff with Ecosia, to withdraw it at any time.
Yes. Although at this rate, it looks unlikely that they'd frankly be able to. The market's getting incredibly, incredibly competitive, and you're going to have to maintain that sort of thing and find other ways to make up for the lost revenue.
Indeed.
And you're going to have to woo customers with more than just a low rate, too, increasingly. You're going to have great value adds that actually make it worth the while to move. I think the greatest challenge for any of these operators who are trying to get people to churn from other networks is that it is a difficult activity. People are fundamentally pretty lazy about these sorts of things, and it's far less effort to just stay put, particularly now that prices are tumbling, than to move. So I think particularly Cell C and ATA are going to have to work doubly hard to woo customers away from the big players, Vodacom and MTN.
Yeah. Of course, it must be mentioned that while ATA has the lowest headline effective rate in the market, it's not necessarily the lowest rate in the market because, of course, Cell C also has the supercharged promotion.
Indeed, with free on-net minutes and data and SMS for recharge amount, but from the very smallest R5 amount as well.
Yes.
And the other thing worth mentioning, I think, is that regardless of the rates, Cell C still remains the most transparent. If you were simply trying to make head or tail of it, I think the Cell C offering is the easiest to understand.
I think ATA's is a lot more simplified than it was previously.
Indeed.
But you're right, it's still one step of complexity that could have removed. Mm. But one, you can understand why they haven't done it.
Sure.
Good. Well, that was this week's mobile price war news. I'm sure we'll be back in our podcast next week to talk about
the next
step in development. sticking with mobile, there was another major announcement actually leaked out of Telkom this afternoon. Our friend Arthur Goldstuck and his technology website Gadget broke the news and published a letter from Telkom MD Attila Vatai announcing that the ATA brand is going to be phased out.
Indeed, in favor of Telkom Mobile, which of course we've already seen on the sort of enterprise end of Telkom's mobile arm. That's how they've been selling services to sort of corporate customers.
Yes.
But the ATA for the consumer branding is going to disappear. We spoke to a couple of analysts earlier, and the general consensus was that ATA was a poor idea to start with for a brand, and that changing to Telkom Mobile is a poor move as well. So unfortunately, ATA could be slated from all fronts, all sides on this one. But the ATA branding, one of the analysts I spoke to, well-known media analyst Chris Mordek, said that the problem with ATA in part was that it was immediately isolating because it only appealed to a certain part of the market. In that sense, Telkom Mobile certainly has sort of broader appeal, but it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. They've suggested that it's not going to be an overnight change. You're not going to see all the signage suddenly vanishing, but that it's going to be a gradual process to shift all of ATA's branding to Telkom Mobile.
I find it so surprising. I mean, they must have spent millions. They definitely spent,
we know they did,
probably tens of millions, if not more, on branding ATA. It's been in the market for almost two and a half years now. When they launched 2010, so it's 2.5 years that this brand has been in the market. It's a well-known brand. I mean, everyone in Joburg knows the Hillbrow Tower, that big pink, I won't say what people call it.
The big pink ball, yes.
The big pink ball on the Telkom Brixton, not the Brixton Tower, the Hillbrow Tower. It's a well-identified brand, that pink. Everyone knows that pink branding associated with Telkom, indeed, with ATA. And so I personally found it a very surprising move.
Also, it seems surprising because, you know, one feels that the initial impetus of branding at ATA rather than Telkom Mobile was to remove an association with Telkom.
Yep.
Given Telkom's history, this isn't surprising. You know,
yes,
when you look at some of the sites that sprang up in opposition to Telkom, I mean, it's a brand with a long and loaded history, and many consumers still feel pretty negative about Telkom.
Mm.
So you can understand them wanting to distance themselves from it with ATA. And then the move to Telkom Mobile suggests that perhaps they're no longer ashamed of the connection. But
yeah.
Do consumers feel the same way? I'm not convinced.
Interestingly, I don't know if you remember, Craig, back when ATA launched, they had this advertising campaign which was hinting at the brand, etc., and they were using the term HATA. HEITA.
Yes.
You'd be surprised how many people I know who still refer to this brand as HATA. HATA,
indeed,
instead of ATA.
I've seen that too, yes.
And whenever I hear that term HATA, I think HATER.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Rather than HEITA. So
perhaps best that they're shaking it off, actually.
Yeah. Anyway, and you also see in the media, and no one knows whether to put a dot between the H and the T, so no one knows how it's actually written. I asked Telkom officially about it, how to write it, they said 8TA, no spaces.
Yet no in their press release,
they put in this funny dot between the H and the T. So anyway, maybe it's best that it's being ditched because no one knew how to pronounce it or how to write it.
Indeed, it should make things a little bit easier.
Yeah.
But really, I feel like a lot of this money, instead of rebranding, could have been spent on marketing.
Yeah.
Promoting the right product.
So moving on from the mobile business entirely, the big budget speech from the finance minister Pravin Gordhan this week dropped a bit of a bombshell. He announced that he intended to implement VAT on all online digital sales, hinting that international vendors are going to have to register for VAT, which is rather interesting
and rather optimistic, I think a lot of people would argue.
Yes.
There's two lines of thought on this, right? The one is that larger players will play ball because, it's government and perhaps they value the sales more than they value fighting. But on the other hand, there's also the argument that some of the bigger retailers won't comply because the South African online market for sort of digital content is so limited compared to, say, a European nation or a much bigger market. You know, is there really that much incentive for, say, Amazon to worry about selling ebooks in the South African market?
Yeah. And my understanding of tax laws and speaking to people who know more on the subject than I do, if you want to be a VAT vendor, I believe you have to be registered as a South African company.
Well, interesting. Right.
So if you're a little software developer from India or you happen to sell an app not through one of the major app stores and you're based in Ireland or in the US or anywhere, are you really going to go through the effort of creating a registered company in South Africa in order to register as a VAT vendor? You probably have to fly here because, Craig, I've been through the process of registering as a VAT vendor. It's an absolute nightmare.
And it has to be done in person. Has to be done in repeatedly. Person.
You have to go in for an interview.
Right.
There's so much fraud around VAT that it's become an absolute nightmare to get a VAT number. This is just a silly proposal. I think it's been made by the finance minister, and it's never going to be implemented.
Indeed. And so one of the tax experts I spoke to suggested that really this sort of rule is not going to chase up the loan developer, in Uzbekistan who's selling software directly from his website. It's really designed for the bigger businesses who will want to comply rather than flout the law.
Do you think Apple is going to come into South Africa and create Apple South Africa Pty Limited in
just so that it can pay VAT? It seems unlikely, doesn't it? The other argument was one of the experts I spoke to said that really what government wants is for individuals to declare these sorts of purchases themselves, which yes, as this indicates, is decidedly laughable.
Yes.
But I admire the optimism. The one thing I do like about it is it indicates that government is paying attention to the sort of growing digital economy. And that's nice. At least there's some sort of recognition of it and of its growth and its growth potential. But
they're trying to tax it to death before it gets a chance to take off.
Yes, I was going to say, it does, however, seem a little bit preemptive. Really, what we should be doing is encouraging people to embrace online purchasing and so on more.
Exactly.
And become more comfortable with these sorts of digital options rather than trying to get our pound of digital flesh, as we described it.
Yeah, I mean, in the States, you've seen sales tax exemptions on e-commerce. It's been law in the States. They're actually putting in tax breaks to encourage the takeoff of e-commerce. And here in South Africa, we're looking for ways to tax it. Maybe we should actually be looking at it the other way around.
Absolutely. And in the same way that we should be removing all duties on electronics and these sorts of things that help grow the sort of digital economy.
Mm. Anyway, our cartoonist Germ has done an excellent cartoon on the subject. So if you haven't seen it yet, go take a look at the website at techcentral.co.za and take a look at his cartoon, his take on the subject. It's rather amusing. Anyway, Craig, let's move along. Our winner and loser this week. We had a lot of debate before we recorded the show on what to do. I think it's obvious what we need to pick as a winner and loser this week. In our last podcast, we picked South African consumers as the winner, and we're going to do it again.
Yep.
There's just so much this competition, this price war that's going on in the mobile industry is fantastic news for consumers. So they're our winner of the week, South African mobile consumers.
And of course, this ties in very nicely to our loser of the week, don't
you? Yep, and that's the shareholders in said companies.
Yes.
who are probably going to see their profit margin squeezed because of this price war. And it's going to be fascinating to watch the share prices of the big companies, particularly Vodacom, which is so exposed to the South African market. MTN, probably to a lesser extent, because most of their profits come from places like Nigeria now.
Indeed, and it's cushioned by these markets that are quite a lot further behind the sort of development curve, yes. Say the move from voice to data and the sort of declining revenues. They've got a few years left in many of the other markets, but as you said, Vodacom doesn't have that luxury.
Yeah. So there we go. Winner of the week, South African consumers. Our loser of the week, telecoms operator shareholders. And just lastly, before we say goodbye for the week, we need to pick our product or app of the week. Craig, what have you got?
So my app is pretty specific. It's only for iPads. At the moment, at least. It's called InkPad, and it's $5 in the App Store. It's just an exceptional vector app. Now, what this is it's much along the lines of Adobe Illustrator, so it allows you to do vector illustrations. The reason people, of course, illustrate in vectors rather than other forms is that as they're all really just a sort of mathematical plotting of lines and shades and so on, you can scale them to any size. So, you know, whether you wanted to put them on a matchbook or a billboard, you can just scale them infinitely, and the proportions and the properties never change because they're all locked in at the start. Anyway, InkPad is phenomenally powerful and incredibly intuitive to use, and as an occasional dabbler in the sort of visual arts, I actually downloaded it on while sitting in an airport lounge in Amsterdam before coming home for some work I wanted to do on the plane, and I found the app an absolute delight to use and absolutely worth the $5.
Great. Great, my app of the week, and it's because I've become such an avid trail runner in recent months. Every weekend I'm out in the countryside running up mountainsides and stuff, and absolutely loving it. But I pick an app, it's not just for trail running, it's for running and cycling and all sorts of outdoor activities. It's an app called Nike Plus Running, and you use it too, Craig.
I do, yes.
It's really cool. It really uses the GPS in your phone and monitors your progress. It can keep you updated as you go. It tells you every kilometer, for example, how fast your last kilometer was. It's really really good. But the thing I really like about it is once you finish your run, you upload your data to the web. You can then go onto the Nike Plus website and you can check out details of your previous runs. You can check out how your friends are doing and how you're doing against your friends, so you can really challenge each other. And Craig, I noticed that when I fired up the app the other day on my iPad, in fact, it told me that I just needed to run a few more kilometers to beat you for the month of February. I don't think I managed to make
you,
it.
You didn't, unfortunately, especially because on the last day of February, I made sure to add another 5.5 kilometers just to be sure.
There we go. There we go. I've only got one bug about Nike Plus running. I use the Android version. It doesn't support the friends option or the friend comparison option on the Android version like it does on iOS.
Indeed.
Although Nike has promised that functionality will be coming quite soon in an app update.
Well, and in the meantime, for iPhone users like me, this is just a rare treat where we get to go, ha, this is a little bit better for now. I'm sure my joy will be short-lived, but also it is worth mentioning, I think, that there are a bunch of other apps that do similar things, right? There's Runkeeper, and now, of course, I can't remember the others, but I've tried a number of them over the years, and I think the best thing about the Nike one is the integration, the sort of social integration is very, very good, and also just the actual interface itself. You know, the app is very, very well thought out. It's very well designed. It's very attractive, and
It looks great.
It's one of these things that people go where their friends are, and so I know a lot of my friends using it, and that's why I've opted to use it over other apps that can provide the same functionality.
Yeah, Runkeeper is also a very good app, but you're right. I also like Nike Plus. I really like its website. When you get back and you want to just take a look on the web, sit down in front of your computer, and also like the design and look and feel of the application itself.
Indeed, really, and this is so important because this is often how you differentiate, in terms of things that do the same thing. Is that's the little touch, and Nike's clearly really spent good money on a good team of design team to really think this through.
Good. That's all the time we have for this week. As always, if you've got any feedback on the show, you can email us at info@techcentral.co.za, or you can leave a comment on the website. Until next time, from Greg and myself, have a great weekend. We'll speak to you next week. Cheers.